G'day, Gary Lyon.
And Tim Watson here.
Thanks for listening to the SEN Breakfast Podcast. What did you think of it today, old wispy old boy?
Well, it was a fun Thursday, wasn't it? We normally have fun Friday, but obviously we're not going to be at work on the Friday, so we certainly turned it into sort of a bit of a fun sort of
Thursday. No, sort it was of Philly Thursday, it was.
It was a you Philly Thursday, was it?
That's exactly what it was.
So we had spoke a couple of Dave, big names on the show, yeah.
Yeah, Dave Matthews from the GWS Giants, the CEO, about the prospect of private ownership, which you put on the table about 3 weeks ago, and everyone else trying to think or claim that they started it all, so well done to you.
And Premier League goalkeeper Matty Ryan, he's holed up in a hotel up there in Sydney. He's got to be in isolation and quarantine for 14 days. He's not letting anything past him.
No, you were on fire. David Noble from the Brisbane Lions, they've got to get 16 players back into Queensland and then deal with a 14-day isolation period before they play. And then
we checked him with an old buddy of mine.
Well, rugby league immortal, Wally Lewis, who Tim told me all day has his best mate, and then good old Wally, God love him. He tried to play along. He tried to pretend that he knew Tim and he remembered him from It's a Knockout, but it wasn't convincing. Have a listen and make up your own mind. Plenty on the agenda on Monday. Tune in live from 6, but if you can't,
the podcast will be here waiting for you whenever you're ready, right across the Easter long weekend. I was born
bold. Melbourne Airport Parking. Zero cost, drive-up parking for all essential travel until June 30.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Morning, everyone. Welcome. It's Thursday, the 9th of April. It's a fun Friday on a Thursday, given tomorrow's Good Friday. Philly Thursday, I'm calling it. Wispy, we've got a big show ahead for you. We've got our usual Sammy Edmund and the Adventures of Whippy Watson. GWS CEO Dave Matthews is going to join us. Can't wait to talk to him. Tim Watson, 3 weeks ago, led the charge on this and raised private ownership as a possibility. We'll talk to the GWS CEO about that very point. Matty Ryan, Socceroos and Brighton goalkeeper, to talk to us. Brisbane General Manager of Footy Dave Noble is going to have a chat. And what about this? Rugby League immortal Wally Lewis to join us. Ahead of the news yesterday that the commission, from an NRL point of view, are looking at a 15-round comp that could get back as early as May 21. Lots to get through. Your calls are always an essential part of this. 1-300-736-736. Your text messages keep us entertained throughout the morning. 0433-98-1116. And it's a good morning to you, Whippy Wispy Watson.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning, everybody. Yes, on the subject of Whippy Watson, takes a very, very serious turn in today's episode. Good that we've got Wally on. Wally and I go back a long way, old mates from yesteryear, so it'd be good to catch up with him again this morning.
Where do you go back to?
Where?
You always say that. You say you're great mates with everyone, and they come on and they hardly remember you.
Well, we did the It's a Knockout together many years ago up in Sydney. You remember that show?
I loved that show. What did you do on it?
We were in separate teams. We had different teams. Oh. Richard Stubbs was he was in my team, and Jennifer Hansen, who was on the news, and a couple of people from
sounds like a dirty big promo to me.
No, what do you mean a dirty big promo?
A cross promotional job?
No, well, back in the day, I think the show was on Channel 10 back then. I think
what were you doing on it? Were you like one of the captains?
Yeah, I don't know if I was a captain. I can't remember if I was a captain. Right. I was just in it. So they divided everybody into teams, right? So it was sort of like a special. It was one of those.
There was four teams, wasn't there?
It was It's a Knockout special, it was.
Oh, I loved that show.
So they built a
Jackie
site.
Jackie Kennedy. Jackie.
Yes.
Jackie. McDonald.
Oh, you call her Jackie. Jackie McDonald. and the fat bloke, the fat sort of...
Ricky May.
No, it wasn't Ricky May. The other guy that was actually the...
Oh, come on, you reckon you and Wally host. Lewis were on the... Were co-hosts of the show.
I bonded with Wally. I was on the show. I was competing.
I don't think you were.
Yeah, I was.
I think you made this up.
It was about, I don't know exactly where they built this whole thing, but it was out of Sydney. It was about an hour out of Sydney, somewhere up in the hills, up in the mountains there, somewhere in the trees. And they had the whole set up there, the swimming pool, everything going. It was a lot of fun. I'm sure that Wally remembers it fondly as well.
So you and he, you bonded, did you? Oh, no, Billy Smith.
Oh, that's who it was.
Smith and Fiona McDonald.
That's exactly who it was back in the day. Isn't it amazing? You forget more than you remember about things that you've done.
You do make a bit of stuff up, to be honest. If we fact checked you, you'd have some Donald Trump like numbers. Every time we get a celebrity, I go way back.
Well, I've been around a long time. I've been on this earth a long time, 59 years this year, this July. So you forget more than you remember about the things that you've done and the people you've crossed paths with. You really do, Gary. You really do when you sit down and think about it all. Every time you mention somebody's name, I think, oh, gee, I've had something to do with that person.
Nimsy here back in the studio. See if you can get that It's a Knockout theme song, please. I loved that. That was one of my favourites. The Sunday night job around 6:30, I reckon.
Yeah.
It's a Knockout. Someone will tell us.
Yeah, it was. In fact, my parents taped it, so they used to sit and watch it, actually, I think, as well. They may have an old beta copy, Gary, if you'd like to sit down and watch
it. I would love to see if you were actually in It's a Knockout. I'm jealous. I would love to have gone on that show. They had some good, crazy stuff happening there.
Yeah, no, that was. We didn't win, but it was a lot of fun. In fact, I spoke to my mum again yesterday. I was talking to her about what she's been cooking. You know, she's been cooking. She's been cooking nookie. I said nookie. Yeah, she said I'm going to make a nice nookie.
Yeah.
So you don't mean nocky, do you?
Well, guess what was made in here yesterday?
What?
Focaccia.
What?
Homemade focaccia.
You went the focaccia?
Yeah.
Who made that?
Lucy did. Nicky's daughter made it.
Oh, nice.
Focaccia. Nice. Beautiful.
Oh, and talking about food, can I just mention this too? Tiger Woods had the Champions Master dinner at home. He put the green jacket on.
I see that.
And do you know what he cooked? What about this? I didn't realise he's such a great chef. He had the entree of roasted quail with the garlic lemon sauce. Then he followed that up with a whole spatched cock with rosemary and thyme. And then he had a stuffed free-range, organic, sensitively euthanized chicken over hot coals with an orange lime sauce, Gary. He went birdie.
I saw this.
Did you see that coming?
From 3 mile down the highway, and I was about to jump in. And claim it. Then I thought, oh no, he's setting up the zinger here. What was it again? Birdie one.
Birdie.
Oh, good. It's Philly Thursday. We're not on tomorrow. We thought we were on tomorrow.
We were going to be on tomorrow. We said that we would be on tomorrow. Well, and they've taken us off.
Yeah, we'll be on Easter Monday, and we're supposed to be on holiday. Are we supposed to be on holidays? But anyway, we're not going on holidays. We're going to work.
I love the way management spun that around too, as though they're doing us a favour.
Ricky May, come on, Wolf. Ricky May was involved with one of those games. Surely he was.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think you're right. But it wasn't that one. I can't remember seeing Ricky up there. I can't remember. I don't think he would have been associated with a sporting sort of active type game thing.
No, he was. He was on. Yeah. It's a Knockout. Thank you very much.
Was he really?
Yes.
Doing what though?
The voices, I think.
Ricky the voiceover. May,
well, it's the Knockout series. It's hard to Google and try and keep on top of this show. Let me see here. No, hang on a minute. Righto, you boys back in the studio. Yes, he was. The cast listed alphabetically. Here we go. Billy Smith, Fiona McDonald, Max Rowley was the announcer, Jackie McDonald. Yep. Melbourne Airport parking, zero cost drive-up parking for all essential travel until the 30th of June. And for those It's a Knockout fans, let's have a listen to this to the break. It's a Knockout, that's the name. It's a Knockout, that's the game. It's a Knockout, that's the name of the game. Good question for you, Tim, before Dave Matthews. I don't know why you're the authority on this, but people want to ask you, can I drive to the South Melbourne market from Hawthorn to buy octopus and seafood for essentials for Easter Sunday, or is that too far a distance? Too hard a question, Wisp?
No, I'm just thinking. Just ask it to me again. I've just been distracted a little bit, if you don't mind.
I'll ask you after, because Dave Matthews is waiting for us on the line. And in these very unusual times, lots of things are being discussed and are on the agenda. I'm just reading an article here. Daniel Iverson, Mark Seidner, interested in GWS Giants private ownership. So let's speak to the man who's the CEO and at the helm of this very exciting footy club, Dave Matthews. Good enough to join us. Welcome, Dave.
Thanks, Gary.
You got a, well, I wouldn't say you got a lot of time on your hands. I can imagine you'd be as busy as ever trying to sort your way through this. But what can you tell us about this particular situation when you've got a couple of highly powerful people who are already big financial contributors to the GWS Giants with talk around that private ownership could be back on the agenda?
Yeah, look, I think there's been a fair bit of interest since the broader Coterie Group of the M7, who are great supporters of the club. There's about 25 guys in that, and Dan and Mark, who you mentioned, sort of get singled out a bit because they got the unique aspect of them and a couple of the other guys being Americans and living in the US, being big Giants fans. And so, while they don't sort of seek any fanfare or recognition, they've just been great supporters over the last few years. And I guess the discussions come up from time to time because, this landscape in the US is very much based on private ownership. So from time to time, we consider whether there's a participation opportunity in our game. Obviously, the structure of the clubs is different. The support of those guys and many others for us has been instrumental in making sure that we can pay up to the soft cap and TPP and have that capacity. So the support's great as it is. Whether there's a possibility of going further, something probably worth contemplating in the current circumstances.
Well, Dave, you got plenty of time on your hands right now, as Gary outlined just before. You're just sitting at home with the three kids and the wife, and you've got not much else to do except to twiddle your thumbs and come up with a private ownership model. In your mind, how could this possibly work? How could you possibly initiate something like this?
It is difficult, Tim. I think that in the end, because it's basically we've got member-owned clubs and a significant amount of the revenue is centralised, obviously. So I think any sort of model would require some guarantees about what base level of distributions would still flow through. I don't particularly see opportunity for private investors from a money-making point of view or a return on investment necessarily. I don't think it's the markets individually are quite big enough for that, but it is in some respects probably the satisfaction comes out of just building something, growing something from scratch, and trying to win the competition. I know that a lot of the motivation for those guys and the M7 generally has just been to try to support an underdog, just a young club with small turnover compared to the other clubs that we're competing against at the pointy end. So it's really what the motivation would be, but you do try to think in these circumstances, who is it that we could get additional revenue into the game that gives people who are contributing some sort of return. Right now, the return that those guys get is the return that any Coterie group or Coterie individual gets at any club, which is just to feel part of something and feel like they're making a contribution to the on-field success.
What about the AFL? Have you broached this topic with the AFL, and what was their response?
No, look, it hasn't been any formal discussions on it, really. It was Tom Brown posed a question to me yesterday. I think it was a possibility. I said I think it's worth discussing. In the past, Gil and I have had the occasional discussion about, I wonder how things could work. Given we've got very similar models to the NFL on a lot of things. We've got a lot of centralised revenue that's distributed this equally. We've got salary caps, we've got drafts. I guess that one of the things that begs the question is what would be possible. And I think what we've also thought about is that previous examples of private ownership in the VFL, AFL are a long, long time ago under very different circumstances to where the game's at today. So I just think, when you're setting up a club like ours and you're 9 years in and you're thinking, okay, how do you continue to make sure that we're underpinned and we're secure, and it's just worth having discussions along those lines, but hasn't been anything formal at this point.
What's the benefit, Dave? What's the biggest benefit? Is it that you get your absolute independence and that you're out from under the AFL and you can start to operate sort of in your own right?
I think that'd be one of the one of the clear benefits. I think when you think about the recent funding models in terms of how many clubs are assisted and how many are unassisted, that if there's an opportunity for clubs to become more independent and more unassisted. I think that's in everyone's interest, both the club from a self-determination point of view and also from the AFL in terms of lowering their annual investment. I mean, I know the distributions get talked about regularly in terms of the size of them to expansion clubs, but you know, they are an investment in trying to grow the market share in New South Wales and Queensland, and I think sometimes people forget that there's a base distribution in that number that all clubs get. So, you know, it's probably, is there an opportunity for the AFL to be able to adjust its variable distribution to some of the clubs in the competition and adjust it down in return for some investment that returns something? But you know, it would be a complicated model. If it's easy, it was easy, it would be already in place across the competition. But I just think it's something worth considering. But look, in terms of narrowing it all the time to the, you know, the two guys you mentioned, I mean, they're just part of a broader group of supporters of ours, and they just happen to be pretty unique because they're sitting in you know, in the US watching the Giants on their iPads generally. So it's a good story.
No, and we understand why there's always needs to be a hook to get this up and about and get people talking. Is there a cautionary tale in this, though, when we see some of the things that are happening from an EPL point of view, where we get this, you know, extraordinary circumstance right now, and the players, our players, have come to pretty quickly the realisation they needed to take a pay cut, and they'll look at it again, whereas you get the privately owned situation over there and the players are going, well, hang on a damn minute, why should we be taking cuts to help our, you know, billionaire owners along the way?
Yeah, I guess in the end, the models both have player unions that are doing a lot of notice of negotiations. But you know, I'm not sure that we'd head towards a model that would be complete ownership or partial ownership or a contribution of some size, some type that's bigger than what it is at the moment. I think there's a variety of ways to look at it. But you know, I take your point. There's the economics over there are just entirely different. You've got a country of 350 million people, so. You know, individuals and localised TV markets and a whole heap of different elements to their game compared to ours. But, you know, right now you'd have to say the AFL's had a very, very successful business model, and I think that, you know, the expansion broadly is still exactly the right way to go. And this is just a topic about is there you know, third-party money that might be able to come in and help further.
Talking to Dave Matthews, the CEO of the Giants. Dave, before this coronavirus struck us and everything's changed now, but before all that, you were in deep discussions about staging a game over there in the States. What's the possibility of that happening, say, next year now? Or is that going to be just too difficult now, given what's taken place?
I think it'll probably be too difficult for next year, Tim, but we still have that ambition. There's a cricket grounds currently being built in the US in six or seven different spots, and that's what piqued our interest when we were talking to some of the guys who support us, as we've referenced this morning. Yeah, they're very keen to see how we could showcase the game, and really the absence of cricket grounds in the US has been the major impediment in the past. So if cricket grounds get built, and they would be in the order of, you know, the sort of grounds that we have in Canberra and Tasmania, that sort of size, probably 15,000 people. That's obviously the first requirement for a game. And if those get built and they're underway at the moment, we'll certainly look at it down the track. Whether or not that's going to be possible next year, you'd have to say it's very doubtful right now.
David, it is very, very interesting times. As we said off the top, you've got not much on, so it gives you something to contemplate through this these unusual times. Hey, thanks for jumping on. We really do appreciate your support, and we'll watch with great interest.
No worries, guys. Cheers.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave Matthews, CEO of the GWS Giants, on a topic that the WIS floated 3 weeks ago before anyone had even thought about it, and now it's gathering. That's how powerful you are in this industry, Whispers. There's no question about that. We need to get a breakaway quickly. There's a really interesting story. Matty Ryan, Socceroos goalkeeper, Brighton goalkeeper in the EPL. He's got a very interesting tale, been in some isolation. How do you keep fit if you're a goalkeeper and you're in isolation, Wisp? We'll find out when he joins us next. Thank you very much, Meredith. Wally Lewis in a moment. Wispy, tonight live on SEN Track, Thursday night's always been a big night, and now that there's not much sport on, Thursday night before Good Friday, of course. You can get into Trackside live from 6 o'clock. Simon O'Donnell, Campbell Brown, they'll be covering the Thursday night races at Pakenham, the trots at Bendigo, the greyhounds at Bendigo, and at Sandown Park. That's live from 6 on SEN Track everywhere, then simulcast from 8 on 11.16 SEN. I think I might even pop in and say g'day to those two boys while that is on, because that to me sounds like a bit of fun. They do it Gogglebox style. Just sit around and talk, have a chat, and talk about races, have a quaddy, get their best bets out, all that sort of stuff.
Sounds like it's right in your wheelhouse. This discussion about whether or not it's worth anything to win the grand final. At this stage, we've got figures of $250,000, $500,000, and $1 million out there. Nobody seems to know. We've actually put a call into the AFL to find out exactly whether or not there is a cash bonus associated with winning the flag. But it's time to speak to one of our all-time favourite sportsmen in this country, isn't it?
All-time rugby league immortal, and you reckon one of your very best friends. News that the rugby league are looking at a May 21 return, 14-round season, state of origin in the middle of the year. That is extremely positive. Is it too optimistic? I'm not sure. Let's speak to Wally Lewis, who joins us. Good morning, Wal.
Good morning. Yeah, it's a bit of a strange time in sport, isn't it? We're wondering what the hell is going to be going on, because it's footy time.
Exactly right. And you are one of our greats, and you're heavily involved, and you read the news as well, the sports news. And I don't know whether you like Tim, but are you getting to the news time and saying, what the hell are we going to be talking about tonight?
Yeah, usually. And I think I'm in the same category there, because I'd like to see other blokes putting it all together. And, I think it's much better, much safer when they do the reports, and I'm not going to get it wrong.
Are they too optimistic here, rugby, with setting a May 21 return date?
Yeah, well, the NRL boss, Beautiful Andy, he basically had been making a bit of a call early that people thought that he was getting a little bit too carried away too soon, but the NRL, the ARL have been working pretty hard with it to try and get underway. I probably, when I was asked about it early, what I thought the best idea was, they're talking about splitting the competition. I thought they were trying to get started too soon, and the best idea was just to try and play each other once, if you possibly could, throughout the course of the season. And that's one of the ideas that they'll be arguing about this morning when they have another meeting. But certainly, if there's an opportunity for footy fans of all codes to watch their sport on television during this very difficult period, it's certainly going to bring a smile to many faces.
Hey, Wally, would the Queenslanders and Melbourne Storm, would they be, if this model does get up, would they be at a disadvantage having to fly in and play these games? This is what's sort of being proposed. They'd fly in for a period of time and then fly back out again. They'd be at a serious disadvantage, would they not?
Yeah, there's no doubt that if you're travelling, every second or third week, it's going to be difficult. But if you're doing it every week to go and play a game, it's got to be a little bit tough for them when you understand that, you've got some sides that are going to be doing it. North Queensland, they'll be coming a lot further than anybody else. The Broncos, the Gold Coast, Melbourne, and of course the New Zealand Warriors. And they were the guys that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, when the Warriors were suggesting that if they were to take part in the competition, they'd have to come over here and base themselves in Australia for the entire season without returning home, because of the lockdowns once they go back. So it's a very difficult period. I think it's still going to take a little bit of polishing to get the idea in place before the final decision is made.
Hey, Wally, back in the day, this whole idea of having everybody together in sort of this big hub that was proposed at one stage, and blokes living in dongas and all that sort of stuff, back in the day when you played, that would have surely been a recipe for disaster, would it not?
Yeah, and I guess that's a nice way of you saying there's not many blokes that like me in rugby league, so I would have been in an argument basically every time I went down to grab something from the shop or gone out onto the training field. But to imagine a whole pile of blokes, and I was listening to one of my mates the other day, and he said, "Oh, how good would that have been?" Could you imagine, like, you go training, and you wouldn't get sick and tired of being sick and tired with blokes that you didn't like. You'd have a different bloke basically to go and have a drink with every night. I said, I don't know whether that's going to be the case for a lot of these guys, but certainly if you are all thrown into the one place, and there's a Moreton Island up here outside Brisbane, which is a beautiful place, very, very quiet, and there wouldn't be too many other distractions for the players over there. But, you know, to have to put up with that and basically then go and jump on a ferry, come back over, or a light plane to come back over to Brisbane and play the games, that's got to be one of the most difficult assignments in the history of sport. And certainly, if they can bring this one and polish it a little bit more, I think it would be far easier.
We're with Wally Lewis, Rugby League Immortal. Wally, if they did go into that sort of a lockdown where they're all in the one joint, would all the players separate into state of origin type lines, regardless of their team alliance? Would you just see all the Queensland boys start to go to one side and the New South Wales boys go to the other?
that could take place, I guess. You'd have your clubs locking down together, staying alongside each other until you got sick and tired of their company. But no, I don't think it'd come into the origin stuff too quickly until the representative time of the season would come around, because there's no doubt Origin would play a very important role in the execution of the matches. You know, whether they'd get the chance to be able to do that, I really don't know. But I think it's still pretty early days yet, that we're still going to need to change quite a few things. But you know, to imagine that everybody's going to be involved in a competition finally, it's something that they've been pretty hungry for quite some time.
Yeah, we all are. There's this insatiable appetite for any sort of sport, but clearly the NRL and the AFL for us is the thing we are missing the most. Hey, Tim Watson, my colleague, Wally, every time we come up with a big name guest, you know, I say, "Oh, we got this." He goes, "Oh, he's a great mate of mine." And I said, "Oh, okay, that'll be good." And then it doesn't quite work out that way. And then I say, "Oh, I've got this guest." "Oh, he and I go." When I said we got Wally Lewis, he said, "Me and Wally are great mates. We did It's a Knockout together." Can you remember that at all?
Yes, he can. But
I tell you what, I can remember it. In those days, I had a little bit of hair on top of my head. I was a lot fitter than what I am now. That has got to be, that's a trip down memory lane, that has got to be 35 years ago.
It's a long time
probably
ago,
longer.
Wally. You were the king. I just referred to you as the king back in the day.
But it was good to be in each other's company. I certainly enjoyed it. I'd heard all about this bloke, and I thought, "Geez, I'm going to spend a bit of time with him."
They were
enjoyable days, very enjoyable days. But he was probably thinking, "Who's this mug from Brisbane playing that game that I've never heard of anyway?" So I don't think he wanted to spend too much time in my company. It was the other way around.
Oh, you've just made his absolute year, Wally. That'll be played on a promo for our program for the next 3 weeks.
Why do I send you the bill, mate? That'll be
good. You're a good man. We appreciate you jumping on. We hope Rugby League can get away. If it's May 21, all good and well. If not, then we'll wait with great interest. We love our Melbourne Storm down here, of course. So we appreciate you jumping on. Okay. You stay safe.
Gary, just quickly.
Thanks,
before
boys.
You go, Wally, are you available for the reunion of It's a Knockout later this year?
Yeah, I just think the execution of all those very difficult things that we were trying to do would take a little bit longer than they originally did. But we're very willing and able to get there. Let us know where and when. We will be there.
Okay, great. I'll make sure our other great mate Mal Meninga can make it as well.
Great joy to have you on, Walt. Thanks so much.
Good on you, boys. Thank you.
Wally Lewis, what a star. What did you say then?
King.
Was you call him King, did you?
I call him King. Yeah.
You call him King when we were hanging up on him. Do you know what? This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to throw this out there to our audience. 0433 98 11 16. I try and listen intently. I try and listen to the timbre of people's voice. I'm saying he had no idea who Wisp Watson was. Do you agree or disagree, or do you think there is a connection between Tim and Wally Lewis? Tim thinks he and Wally are great mates. Wally then played along beautifully. My reading of it was, who in the hell's Tim Watson? I can't remember one bit about it's a knockout. Give us your thoughts. 0433 98 11 16.
Gary, what? There was so much warmth. I had to put on 50 plus during that conversation.
I'm not seeing it or hearing it. You tell me otherwise. 0433 98 11 16 after the break.